For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast, bringing you the latest in sports news, fantasy analysis, and opinions. Don't forget the hot takes. Can't have a sports show without hot takes these days. What about hot cakes, though? I want some hot cakes. Now here's your host, ready to jump into the thick of things, Dwayne Callender.
Good morning and welcome to the show, everybody. We've got a busy day of sports coming ahead. It's our last four-game slate of court. Obviously, there are some of you who are still mourning the loss of Alabama in the championship game. Well, I mean, there's always next year, and you have the number one recruiting class, so no one really feels sorry for you, but, you know, it is what it is. Congratulations to Clemson. We got NFL to talk about. I could also talk about the Yankees' obsession with the Colorado Rockies infield. But let's just get right down to it with the NFL playoffs. We got two games on deck today. We got the Colts traveling to Kansas City to play the number one seed in the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs basically are everyone's favorite pick to get upset today. The Chiefs are 5.5-point favorites. And basically, all the public is on the Colts. I'm trying to figure out why, because you've got the number one scoring team in the league. The Colts have a good defense. Not a great defense. They have a good defense. I mean, people are talking up the Colts as if they're the 85 Bears. And yes, it's a good secondary. I mean, they don't allow too many big plays. But, I mean, let's be frank here. It's not as though they were going up against elite offenses in the AFC South the entire year when you consider the fact that their division basically is Deshaun Watson at the top being hamstrung by Bill O'Brien's play calling, and then the rest of the quarterbacks are Blake Bortles and Marcus Mariota. I mean, let's just be frank. It's not as though the sample size is all that great to begin with. So, yes, the Colts do play well in the secondary, but they are the league worst at defending the tight end. Who's the number one passing option on Kansas City? It's not Tyreek Hill. He's their big play threat. The number one passing option on Kansas City is Travis Kelce, who's a tight end and is the number one tight end in football. I expect a healthy dose of Travis Kelce. So, again, for those of you playing DFS lineups, Kelce is basically a lock for this entire weekend on the Saturday slate. And if you're playing all four games, I'll be perfectly blunt. If you're not playing Kelce, unless it's a GPP lineup where you're just going off the rails and just trying to do things differently, I mean, you got to accept the chalk on this one. You got to take Kelce in the tight end spot and just leave it alone. I mean, you got the number one tight end against the league's worst defense against tight ends. I don't have to spell that out for you, you know, regardless of the conditions, because obviously it's snowing outside in KC. That's not going to impact the passing game. What happens in snow games is the fact that if it's windy and it's snowing, if it's snow and it's not windy, which by all accounts, it's not that windy out in KC, you know, this is not necessarily what the concern is going to be. The concern is going to be with running the football and securing the football if the ball gets wet with the snow. That's about it. But I'm not worried about the passing game for Kansas City when you've got a matchup nightmare like Kelce and again, the league's worst defense against tight ends. To me, that's a gimme matchup right there. I expect the Kansas City Chiefs to move the football, use Travis Kelce. You know, yes, the Colts limit big plays, so Tyreek Hill is more of a GPP play, but it's not as though it's the end of the world if you're playing Tyreek Hill in GPPs. I just think that, you know, any given scenario, Tyreek Hill has the speed to bust open a play no matter what the data says. So it's always one of those where I can forgive playing Tyreek Hill because, you know, he's just a matchup nightmare. And from a speed perspective, there's no one on the field that's going to keep up with him. Over on the other side of the football, you've got basically what amounts to a mismatch with the Colts offense against the Kansas City defense. No Eric Berry, it seems, for Kansas City. Not that it was really going to stop the Colts from scoring points in this game. I mean, Andrew Luck is going to ball out today. I expect the Colts to be behind. I expect the Colts to keep throwing the football no matter what. I would say that, you know, even though Marlon Mack had a big game last week, I would be surprised if he does break 100 yards today, even with a defense as weak as Kansas City, because as I said, points will be plenty here. I fully expect that the Colts and Kansas City will be the highest scoring game of the weekend for these matchups. But, you know, with Kansas City being a 5.5-point favorite, I would still lean towards Kansas City covering that. I know they're laying a lot of points, but it's one where I just feel the Colts aren't going to be able to keep up over the long haul, and the Chiefs do get a touchdown victory in this one. So I've got this one basically pegged around in the low 40s range for Kansas City in terms of point total. I just think that, you know, folks are overplaying this snow angle. I just feel as though the amount of points being scored in this one, you take the over on this one. I think anyone taking the under on 54.5, I just think that's foolish. I do feel as though, even though most NFL games are going to score on the under for the playoffs, by and large, compared to the regular season, this is one of those matchups where both offenses have good matchups that they can exploit against the defense. Struggle on the basis of time possession. So, realistically, I expect this to be one of those higher scoring games just from the standpoint of I'm not expecting a ton of turnovers. I know folks expect turnovers in weather-based games, but I don't really see it happening here. I could be wrong, but, you know, between the Colts and the Chiefs, there are matchups to exploit. Ebron's in a prime matchup. Like, this is one of those slates where I wouldn't be opposed to playing both tight ends. I would play both Kelce and Ebron in the flex just because they have enough opportunity. Now, and again, because T.Y. is always less effective on the road than at home, yes, it's a risk playing T.Y., but I still think that T.Y. has ample opportunity here to do a ton of damage. So this is an interesting one here, to be honest, because I can easily make a case for a couple of guys in this game between the Colts and the Chiefs. So realistically, this should be an entertaining one. I'll say that much. It really does have quite a bit in store for the entire NFL landscape here, because as I said, there should be ample opportunity from both of these lineups to do quite a bit of damage. And to be perfectly honest, I really would be shocked if this game went under. There's just way too much opportunity for these teams to do damage on each other, so I fully expect there to be a good amount of scoring to be had here for the masses. So this could be the most entertaining game of the weekend, to be honest with you here. So I'm going to move on to the Dallas St. Louis. I said St. Louis, and I mean L.A. Rams. They wish they were in St. Louis because the Dallas fans will outnumber the Rams fans 3-1 guaranteed tonight. This will be a home game for the Cowboys, basically. on the road in LA, which is embarrassing on national TV. But be that as it may, we still have the Rams favorite as the home team. And you can hear, you can't see my air quotes, but the Rams are technically the home team here, even though they're going to be booed in their own stadium by the Cowboys fans. So the Rams are favored by 7, 7.5, depending on certain books. This is the tricky game here, because I can see a scenario where Dallas actually not only covers as the underdog, but actually pulls this game out. Just from the standpoint of the Rams offense has struggled traditionally against athletic defenses that can move around. So Philly gave them fits. Chicago gave them fits. The Cowboys have an athletic defense. The biggest issue with the Cowboys defense is when it feels like showing up. So a lot of times the Cowboys defense hasn't shown up for some of these games on the road. And let's be honest here, it's the playoffs. So I would expect that this team be amped up and ready to go. Now, they played a physical game last week against Seattle, so I do expect that to take a toll on them, but I do think the Cowboys defense has enough metal in there to actually show up and play well tonight. The question is, can the Cowboys offense put up enough points to win this game? Because the truth of the matter is that I'm not sure if the Cowboys offense can put up 20 points even against a defense as weak as the Rams away from home. The problem with the Cowboys is that they play better on offense away, at home rather than away. So it's a case where I need to see what the Cowboys can do offensively. Can Dak Prescott throw the ball outside the hash marks effectively against this Rams defense that is very, very suspect? But at the same time, the way to beat them is with the deep ball and catching them off guard. Yes, you can gash them with the run, but realistically, they're going to gang up to stop Zeke. So it's going to be on Dak to be able to throw outside the markers and be able to complete passes down the field if the Cowboys want to move the ball tonight. But at the end of the day, the Cowboys live and die by Zeke. Zeke still has to put up good numbers against the Rams tonight if they want to win. The reason why I still don't see it happening just is from the standpoint of you got a fresh Rams defense, you got a banged up Cowboys offensive line already. They just played a physical game against Seattle last week. I just don't see it happening. But you know what? Zeke is always capable of pulling off something incredible. So we'll see. Dak's still going to have to make some outside throws, but Zeke is going to have to try to find ways of just churning out yards and controlling the time possession. Because, I don't think the Cowboys defense is necessarily going to be able to shut down the Rams offense completely. They'll do a good enough job to slow the game down a bit, but I just think that eventually the Cowboys offense is going to have to put up 20-plus points, and I'm not sure if they can get that done tonight. All right, moving on to the Sunday matchups. We've got New England hosting the Chargers. L.A. coming in as 4-point underdogs. Everyone and their mother is on the Chargers. I don't understand this line. Yes, I know the Chargers have been playing well as of late, but let's be clear here. This is New England at home. This is why you don't want the Patriots getting home field advantage in the playoffs, because of how difficult they are at home and playing in the playoffs. That's the reason why people fear allowing New England to get that home field advantage. So, again, I say this with all due respect to the Chargers. I don't think that they realistically have a shot at winning this game, even though they have the best collection of players in this game. If you went through a list of the top 10 players in this game, New England basically has two of them. Brady and Sony Michel. That's it. And yet still, I fully expect New England to come out with a game plan that's going to feature plenty of James White catching balls out of the backfield, tiring the San Diego defensive line, which is their calling card, and basically making their lives absolutely miserable. I really feel as though the Chargers are going to find a way to lose this game. And yes, as much as people want a feel-good story with Philip Rivers, there's a reason why Philip Rivers has not won the big one when it comes to postseason play. There's a reason for all this. The reason being is that Rivers has a terrible tendency to throw game-crippling interceptions in the postseason. I cannot stress this enough. As much as New England is vulnerable this year, I firmly believe the Patriots are going to find a way to get it done, as much as it pains me to do so. So while I don't want to pick New England, I am picking New England to win this game. Now, will it be pretty? Absolutely not. So you could pick the Pats basically to win this game, but are they going to cover 4 points? I'm not entirely sure. I actually see this more as a 24-20 kind of game. Maybe they win at 27-21, but I really feel as though this line is actually kind of a tricky one where it ends up being basically a push more than anything else. I'm not sold on the Pats actually covering this one, to be perfectly honest. Although I do think that they're actually going to win the game. So, you know, even though that might sound confusing to folks, like, I feel as though, you know, this is realistically going to be one of those spots where New England gets it done as ugly as it looks. And, you know, folks are going to be pissed off seeing them in the AFC Championship game, but them's the breaks. New England just finds a way to get it done. And again, it will not be pretty. Like, the Patriots will find some loophole. I'm sure they'll find some way to stretch the NFL rule book to gain a slight advantage over their opponents, because that's what they do. They find answers to the test and advance to the test, and there's no way you can actually prove that they cheated ahead of the exam. Anyway, getting to the final game of the weekend, we've got New Orleans hosting the Eagles. You know, Philly is an 8-point underdog. It could be 10 points, and there's no way I'm picking Philly to actually win this game, let alone cover in the Superdome. It's going to be loud. It's going to be raucous. Nick Foles is not. Is exactly who we thought he was, but the folks who are keep banging this drum that the Eagles are about to make another Super Bowl run, I mean, you won based off of the complete ineptitude of Cody Parkey. Let's be clear about that. I didn't get a chance to talk about the Bears finding a way to choke that game. I wasn't surprised that the Bears choked that game, but the fact that it came down to Cody Parkey's kicking once again, as embarrassing as it was, like, Nick Foles did not play well last week. Let's be clear. So, for everyone trying to beat that drum, Nick Foles, again, did not play well. Like, most of Nick Foles' playoff games, he has not played well in. It's one of those situations where Nick Foles gets to be the beneficiary of timely defense and excellent play from his wide receiver core, but Nick Foles himself has not played that well. So, you know, folks can keep up this narrative that this is all Nick Foles' magic and that there's a QB controversy in Philadelphia. I, for one, would be ecstatic if the Eagles were actually dumb enough to trade Carson Wentz in favor of Nick Foles. Nothing would make me happier than to hear that the Eagles were going to go all in on Nick Foles. So, to me, it only works to my benefit if Nick Foles actually wins this game on Sunday. But it's not happening. So you're going to get a Saints win here. I expect the Saints to cover the 8 points. I expect the Saints to win by 10 to 14 points. And that will be that for the Eagles. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that the Saints are good. Now that it's playoff time and they've basically have saved up Alvin Kamara this entire year, They're going to use Kamara as a sledgehammer against the Eagles. Kamara's going to be catching the ball out of the backfield, running in between the tackles. Yes, they're going to use a bit of Mark Ingram, but really, this is going to be the Alvin Kamara show. All day, every day, throughout the rest of the playoffs for the Saints. They learned their lesson last year against Minnesota, deviating from what can happen when they deviate from Kamara, because that's what happened in the second half against the Vikings, if you remember. There wasn't nearly as much focus as there had been in the past with Kamara. So I fully expect the Saints to be ready, willing, and able to take care of business against the defending champs. And they cut short the championship defense for the Eagles before the NFC title game. And we're going to get a matchup between the Rams and the Saints, the two best teams in the NFC, going at it for a chance to go to the Super Bowl. That's the way I see it going down. We'll see how things shake out. But, from a DFS perspective, this is a very interesting slate because, you can play Mahomes, you can play Breeze, you can play Luck. DraftKings made the pricing very flexible for most of these games. So I look at this as a case where, you have your pick of certain matchups, and it just kind of comes down to how you really feel about going about certain things. Because at the end of the day, I feel as though, we're in store for quite a bit of action today and points given the defenses we're going to see in this Colts-Chiefs matchup. So I think that's really going to, how the points break out in those games will shape how the rest of the slate's going to go. So pay attention to the first game because that's going to have a lot of impact on the rest of the DFS slate. For my opinion, Kelce and Ebron should be in great positions. I like Dontrell Inman on the Colts. Chester Rogers is a possibility, just so you save up money from actually using T.Y. Hilton with Ebron. I think it's either or. It's like either T.Y. is going to get those touchdowns or it's going to be Ebron, but Luck's been targeting Ebron more in the red zone than T.Y., so I think that's a better play. Hines is an interesting play from a DraftKings perspective. And then over in the Dallas LA game, Michael Gallup's a nice GPP play. If you're doing cash lineups, then you could look at Robert Woods on the Rams, or you could look at Amari Cooper. But I do think for GPP purposes, Gallup has the chance to break the slate open just because Dak's going to get plenty of opportunities to throw down the field. So I just feel as though, realistically, that's where you're going to make your money this week is downfield throws coming from Dak Prescott. So we're going to see how it plays out, though, because it really is going to be an interesting slate this weekend. So I'm excited to see how these games play out because, It is very much a wide open slate today. Plenty of possibilities where you can go, but I'm really curious to see how this all shapes up. So that's gonna do it for the show. But I am very excited. Plus, I'll get to talk a little bit more about the NFL coaching hires. And also the latest and greatest going on in the NBA. Plus, we'll get some baseball talk in later on. So that's all for now. But have a good one, folks, and best of luck today.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.